God has called you. God knows you by name. He's called you for a purpose. He's called you because He has a plan for you. He's called you because He wants to change your lives. He's called you because He wants to change your destiny. He's called you because He wants you to carry His anointing. He's called you because He wants you to carry His name. He's called you because He wants you to be a world changer. He's called you so that you might change the place where you live. He's called you to be a light in the darkness. He's called you to be a powerhouse for the kingdom of God. He's called you to be the life changer for those near to you. He's called you. He's called you. He's called you. And He has a purpose and a plan for you. And God has said He will not let you go. He expects you to finish the plans and the purposes that He has set before you. And God has not changed His mind. God is certain in what He intends to do. And today He calls you yet again afresh. He calls you yet again anew and says, make that strong commitment. Give that strong purpose and don't give up. Do not give up, but press on, because victory is just over the other side. Victory is just on the other side of this hill. Victory is just on the other side of this hill. Come on, let's walk into the victory. Let's have victory in 2017. Let's bring in the power of the kingdom. Let's bring in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's release the power of heaven into the areas where we live, and into this area, and in this church, and into our lives. Let's release that power for His praise and for His glory. And God wants to use you to be power releasers in Jesus' name. God wants to use you to be a power releaser in the name of Jesus. Amen? Do you believe that? I don't care what your job is, I don't care where you're at now, God is a life changer. God changes circumstances and situations. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I mean it. Come on, yes, Lord. Amen. And let God begin to change things in the dynamics right now. You know, spiritual things come against us, but all we need to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe You. Yes, Lord, I believe Your word. Yes, Lord, things are going to change. Yes, Lord, I will be different. Yes, Lord, I will have the victory. Yes, Lord, I will live in Your victory. And yes, Lord, I will never leave You and I will never forsake You. And yes, Lord, I may get knocked down, but guess what, Lord? I'm getting up again, Lord. And it's going to be yes, Lord, again. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And the only answer to your question that I've got is Jesus. And all you have to do is say, yes, Lord. And things begin to change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited. Do you want to be a life changer? Amen. Do you want to be a life changer? Do you want to change your lives? Do you want to change your lifestyles? Glory to God. Well, stick with Jesus. And let Him change it. Let Him take you on a... He will take you on a roller coaster ride that goes so high, you've never seen anything like it. He will take you to places that you've never expected to go. He will take you into situations and circumstances, and He will bring you out victorious. He will bring you out as a bright, shining light for His praise and for His glory. And all you've got to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, there'll be trials, there'll be challenges, there'll be difficulties, but just keep saying, yes, Lord, You promised, Lord. Yes, Lord, I know Your word's true. Yes, Lord, You said You'd never leave me. Yes, Lord, Your word is empowering to my life. And yes, Lord, I'm going to watch it work in me. Amen? Are you going to be a yes, Lord?
Yes, Lord.
Or a no, Lord?
Yes, Lord.
Are you going to be a yes, Lord?
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. I'm not preaching, by the way, today. Oh, glory to God. Well, Ken said he's going to preach. I've given you something already to go for, you know. And hang on to that. Be a yes, Lord person. Don't let Him go. Don't Don't let the devil steal your joy. You know, remember last week I said, in the book of Ruth, there's all these names, and they all have meaning. And there's one guy in there. Yeah, that's right, George, you remember, did you? He had no name. He had no name. Do you know why? That's right. He has no legal right to the land. He has no legal right to you and to me. And this day, the devil has no legal right over you. Come on, say it with me. The devil has no legal right over me. The devil has no legal right over me. There is only one who has a legal right over me, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You got it. Hallelujah. Come on. It's the Lord that matters. And today, you could be going through a difficult situation. But the Word of God says, in every circumstance, in every situation, give thanks. You know, some days are going to be tough days. You know, some, you wake up this morning, you look out the window, you think, what a day. It's a grey day, it's raining, it's cold, it's damp, I'll just stay in bed. Or, you know, you've had a difficult time, you've had an argument with somebody, you've had a disagreement, you've had a fallout. You know something? God's not falling out with you. We used to sing a song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You know, he don't turn around and say, keep it to yourself, I don't want to know. God doesn't do that. He says, the Bible says, cast all your cares, all your troubles on Him, because He's interested. He's interested in you today. He's interested in what's happening today. He's already planned tomorrow. And if you want a great tomorrow, then you have to stay connected with the Lord Jesus. Ruth was told by Boaz, the Redeemer, whatever you do, stick close. Whatever you do, stick close. Those of us that know coal fires, you remember them coal fires? We used to stand in front of it and toast on the front, then you used to have to turn around to toast the back, you know, because the back was frozen. You always need a draft to keep a fire burning. Did you know that? It's got to have oxygen. Do you know, to keep that fire burning within you and me, we need oxygen. But it's not the oxygen of the world, it's the oxygen of the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's the oxygen of the Word of God, and it's the Word of God that causes the fire to burn. It's that which gets you excited about your future and your destiny. And it causes that fire to burn within you. Burn, Spirit of God, burn, Spirit of God, burn. And as the fire burns within you, and you begin to think, wow, you know. But the moment that you draw yourself to one side, it's like when you take a living coal from off the fire and you set it on one side. You can set it next to the fire. You can set it on the hearth next to the fire. And what happens to it? It goes out. It becomes weak in its flame. It becomes weak in its heat. It becomes weak in its strength. And that's like you and me. If we pull away from God, we pull away from the Word of God, then we'll begin to be weak. Our flame will die down. And the devil says, I can pick this one off. I can grab this one easily. There's no heat left in it. I can take it out. And then I can crush it. I can crush it. As the devil's come to steal, kill and destroy, to crush us. But the moment that you step back into the fire, the moment you step back into the presence and into the Word of God and into the Spirit of God, that fire begins to burn. And that living coal begins to ignite again with the presence and the power of God flowing through it. And the biggest mistake is that when we start getting difficulties, when we start getting problems, we take ourselves out of the fire. And suddenly, we start to becoming a cold ember that anybody can pick up and toss away. But you know, when the fire burns within you, there's only God can touch you. There's only God can handle you. There's only God can put you in, move you forward. Nothing else can touch you, because when the fire of God is burning within you, it destroys the work of the enemy. It destroys that work of the enemy. It stops him using you for things that you don't want to do really inside. It stops him trying to control you. Because when that fire starts burning, he goes, can't get closer. The hotter it burns, the further away he goes. You know, because he's like, whoa, it's, you know. And so when you're on fire and he starts to come towards you, he's like, whoa, you know, I can't get near him. So he says, throw some trouble on him. Throw some tribulation on him. Throw some challenges. Throw some difficulties. Like throwing water on a fire. He says, I'll put it out. But you know, when the fire is raging, and Charles is an ex-fireman, you know, big fire tender full of water and taps into the mains, and he'll probably tell us very often, a lot of the fire that start, they never really put them out, they contain them. They just contain them. Once those fires get such a hold, there was one recently on the news, I believe, just a few weeks ago, a factory somewhere, and it got on fire, and there were so many tenders, about 100 firemen out there, and they said, we're only containing it. We're containing it so it doesn't spread somewhere else. They couldn't put it out. And you know, when the fire of God gets burning in you, the devil can't put it out. Your neighbour can't put it out. Your friends at school can't put it out. You know, if you've got parents against you, they can't put it out. There's no matter what is happening, once the fire of God starts burning, nobody can put it out. Only you. Because then you go, I'm stepping out of the fire. It's too hot. Let me tell you this. It's never too hot. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego went in that fiery furnace in the book of Daniel. And everything that burnt off them were the bondages, were the things that held them back, were the things that stopped them from praising God, were the things that stopped them from being victorious. And today God is saying, let the fire burn. Let the fire burn. I believe that our nation needs to see the fire of God burning. I believe our nation needs to know the power of God moving through it. I believe every church needs to have such an anointing of the presence and the power of God that when you come in as a congregation, that when somebody walks in sick, when somebody comes in a wheelchair, when a blind person comes in, when a deaf person comes in, and the presence and the power of God begins to move, eyes are opened, deaf ears are unstopped, they get out of the wheelchairs, and cancer and everything else just has to bow the knee, because the fire of God is so powerful that it burns up everything that is in its way. And I believe, and I believe, and I believe that's what God wants to do. I believe that that's God's purpose and plan for each and every one of us, because I believe that God is calling His church to become glorious. I believe God is calling His church to be a glorious bride. I believe He's calling His church to be powerful. I believe He's calling His church to be noticed, not to be normal. He's calling you to be abnormal. He's calling you to be supernormal. He's calling you to be supernatural. He's calling you to be different in the name of Jesus. He's calling you. He's not just calling me or Grace. He's calling you. He's calling His church. He's calling His bride. He says, I want you to be different. He don't mean different gaga, but He means different by the power of God, that nothing shall stand in the way. Nothing shall stand against you. Nothing will be able to destroy you. You know, when David was fighting against his enemy, he would go to the Lord and say, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord would tell him exactly what to do. And one day He said to him, go and stand in a certain place. He says, and when you hear the trees, the mulberry bush leaves beginning to rustle, when you hear the noise in those trees, He says, I'm moving. Get ready. I'm moving. I'm moving. And I believe God is saying, He wants to move. He wants to move. But you know, when God started moving, He said to David, you need to move with me. We need to move as God moves. We need to begin to be stir up. We need to pray for the presence and the power of God to start moving in our lives. And we need to be saying, yes, Lord, I'm here. Yes, Lord, I'm ready. Yes, Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm not finished. I'm not perfect. But yes, Lord, I'm going to be available. Lord, and in my availability, there will be coming changes in my life. Because He said, I'm going to bring you from where you are now into perfection and onto perfection and onto even more perfection. He's working in each and every one of you. But you have to be hungry and thirsting. You have to say, I want this. I want this change. I want to be different. I want to rule and reign in my life. I don't want to be controlled by other things. You know, I said a few weeks ago, there's a little thing, and I'm not picking on anybody, but there's a stick that's about that long, and it's white. You know the one I mean? Huh? Don't you know the one I mean? It's got some brown stuff in it, flakes of stuff. You know, a little white stick. It's got paper around the outside. Any idea what it is? It's called a cigarette. Yeah. I meet people who are alcoholics and drug addicts, and yeah, I want to get free. Yeah, I want to be different. But then you say to them, but you know that little white stick? Yeah. You've got to go without the stick. You've got to go without it. I can't live without that. I can't go without that. And it controls you. Controls your destiny. Controls your future. It controls everything about your life. A little white stick. You think, how can that control somebody? I mean, let's be honest, you can put that before your fingers and just crush it, can't you? You know, you can put it underneath your foot and you can just crush it to the ground. You see, that's what you do with the devil. You grind him in to the ground. You grind him in to the ground. Now, I know it's a challenge to give up. I know. My father smoked a pipe. And when he came to Christ, it took him a few months. You know, he got on his knees one day and he said, "God, deliver me from this addiction." And my mother heard him praying and she said, "Oh dear God, he's tried to do this before. He's not worth living with when he gives up his pipe. He's a nightmare to live with." And she's praying, "God, don't do it. Please let him keep his pipe." She even said to him, "Don't do it." But he gave it up. God heard him. And God answered. And he gave it up just like that. Just like that. You read a book called The Cross and the Switchblade. Drug addicts in America, early 50s. They didn't go on methadone. They didn't go on Subutex. They went cold turkey and gave hard drugs up just like that, because people sat with them through the night and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And the power of prayer changes things. You see, I know how powerful prayer is, because I've seen David. I've seen blind eyes open. I prayed for somebody who was blind. They were in their 80s and gone blind in one eye. And as I prayed, that lady's eyes, it popped open. She began to see again. I've seen people in wheelchairs get out of wheelchairs and begin to run round, praising God. That's the power of God. That's the power of God in you when you begin to pray. God is a God who wants to change things. The only thing you have to do is say, "I'm connecting with you, God. I'm connecting, God. I'm not going to let go. I'm going to change. Somehow, some way, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to change. I want you, Lord, to use me as a vessel for your service. I want you, Lord, to flow through me. Lord, I want to be one of the life changers in your name. I want, Lord, that power to flow through me, Lord, that it will begin to change the lives of men and women in such a way that I have never seen before." Do you know what I'm believing for? Do you know what I'm believing for? I'm believing that we'll see dead people rise up. Now, you are getting stupid. Yeah, well, I'll be stupid for Jesus any day. But I'll tell you this. I prayed for two people and they both got up. Two people that died. One of them's in this church today. Still alive. After some, I don't know, maybe 20 years now. Still alive. Still praising God. Don't get excited about it. Don't worry, you know. Don't let it freak you out. Don't get too excited. Because I get excited when I see that happen. Jesus raised the dead. Amen. He raised the dead. And you know what he said just before he left? He says, "You'll do greater things than me." He said, "I'm equipping you to do greater things in my name." So that everything that we do goes to Jesus. Everything that we're about goes to Jesus. We live and breathe and have our very being because of Jesus. I'm alive today because of Jesus Christ. We were laughing last night and yesterday, Grace and I, at the number of times I've been electrocuted. Oh yeah, me and electricity do not get on. Do not ask me to play with live wires. We had an old house. I was doing it up, and I was doing central heating work. I'd been drilling some holes and I'd rubbed against this cable and I felt this twinge. I thought, what's that? And I touched this cable and nothing. But I don't know if you've ever had it. Sometimes you just nip a nerve in your neck and it just feels like electric shock, you know, because you're powered. And I carried on drilling, and a few minutes later again I got this twinge. You know. Touched this cable again, nothing there. Oh, weird this. And I checked it, I put one of these test screwdrivers on, no light on, nobody in, you know. So then I get a piece of, I've done my drilling and I've got a piece of 10-foot copper piping in my hand and I'm sliding it down through this hole. And all of a sudden, now copper is a great conductor of electricity. I know it is. Because, unbeknown to me, I passed this piece of cable. I'm under the floor. It's 3 foot down below the floor level. Okay? I'm crouched down. And all of a sudden, something hit me. Boom! I came up out of that floor. I banged my head on the bottom of the sides of the floorboarding. I went down and I'm like, I could not breathe. And I'm trying to shout grace. She's just letting her mother leave out the front door, which is on a main road, and I can hear all the traffic going by, and I'm shouting, grace, grace, grace. I'm thinking, I'm dying. Well, as you can see, I didn't die. That was the first time. So I took that cable out. I got rid of that cable. Get rid of that. Charles, you may never remember this, but this was lead cable, and the cables inside, the two cables, were wrapped in paper insulation. Paper? I mean, who would do such a stupid thing like that? You know? It was a killer. Nearly had me. Well, some months later, I was doing some extra wiring. I was extending the wiring. We were doing a kitchen extension. And I'd spoken to somebody and I'd got everything wired up. All I'd got to do now was connect to the mains. So there I go, into the fuse box, open it all up, put the wire on, connect everything, and then you flick the switch, don't you? This was late October evening. We had visitors just arrived. It's dark outside. And I'm in the cellar and I went flick, and all I could see was this boom, and a blue light shot down the gas pipe and ran behind me, and I came out like I was blind, but now I didn't see. I mean, I blew a 60 amp fuse the other side of the fuse box. Everything in the house went out, and I'm like, So I disconnected everything and then I rang the electricity board and said, you better come out, we've got a problem with our electricity. Got no light, got no power, got nothing. He came out and he had a look and he said, don't know how you've done this. And I thought, me neither. I told him nothing. I said, well, it's the 60 amp fuse. I mean, to blow a 60 amp fuse, that is like going some, you know. Twice I've been trapped under cars. Once I had a car wreck. Right? I had a car wreck. Jonathan was with me. We flew through the air, didn't we? Went through this fence. The fence came in, the fence post came in, took the mirrors off the side of the car. There was a tree that did this, and it hit my side of the car and smashed the driver's side door window. There's glass all over the place, and we stopped about 3 foot from this bank in. I got out of the car, and the car was still going, boom, 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 boom. This is still running. I said to Johnson, "Are you okay?" He said, "Yeah, I'm fine." I said, "Yeah, me too." I got out, I looked behind me because I thought I need to reverse out from here. And on the ground was a tree stump, freshly cut, that far off the ground. I don't know anybody who cuts trees that low down. It did manage to take a rubber buffer off the bottom side of the chassis of the car as we went flying through, because it was a wood, weren't it? It was a small wood we went through. We went through this small wood and stopped. And do you know, God must have said, "Do you know that stupid kid of mine, Andrew? He's going to go and do something dumb again." Have you? You've never done anything dumb, have you? Obviously, I can tell by the looks on your faces. And he thought, he must have said, "Get an angel down there, get that tree taken out, because I know what he's going to do in the next few days." You see, he knows tomorrow. He's got your life planned out if you'll submit to it. Well, I went down, I looked at this tree and I'm like, wow, I can't believe that there was a tree there. It was still fresh. There was still sawdust around it. And I'm like, wow. That tree was slap bang in the middle of the bonnet of the car. Is that not true? So if we'd have hit that tree, the engine probably would have been sat where we were sat. You reckon? There's a possibility in there. We got out without a scratch. I managed to drive the car away, and I looked at the car and I thought, it's the car that I always wanted. You see it occasionally, Grace comes in it, she took it off me. Can't understand why. She took it off me. I looked at that car and I thought, David, I thought, I've written it off. The car, the dream that I had of owning that car. And I've written it off, a Toyota Celica sports car. And I'm like, I've written it off. I'd only had it a few months. That's just where I felt, David. My dream. Just being shattered and smashed into pieces. Because of me not being smart enough. Do you know what happened? I couldn't believe this. The insurance company said, "We'll fix it." I thought, really? Yeah. Do you know? Every panel on the car was damaged. Front wing, either side, both passenger, either driver's door was damaged, and the rear wings were damaged, weren't they? Everything down the side, all damaged. They rebuilt it. It still looks fantastic today. God's a God of blessing. He's a God of keeping. He's a God of protection. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Even when you do some of the dumbest things, even when you decide to be a little bit rebellious, because he's determined to bring you through into victory. He's determined to establish you in his way. God wants to do this. And all you've got to do is connect. Say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. George, he just wants you to connect.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord. And that's what it's about. David.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. I know you're not a young man, but the Bible says God will renew your youth like the eagles. God will give back time to you when you put Jesus first. Come on. This is what it's about. You know? You might think, I've lost so much in my life. But God is a restorer. God is a redeemer. Like I was talking last week, God is the redeemer of all things. He's the one who will make provision for things which are lost. And you know, success is not in money. Success is not about what sort of job you've got. That's transient. It's passing. It's fleeting. The moments. When I was younger, my father said to me, you need to get yourself an apprenticeship, get yourself a qualification, get yourself a skill, and you'll never be out of work. When I got to 21, the factory that I worked for, they closed my section down. Hang on, I was told by my dad, get a skill, you'll never be out of work. I got to the end of my apprenticeship and they shut it down. As it happens, I'd just gone to university to get more qualifications for the job that they just shut down. Sounds dumb, doesn't it? What are you going to do? I decided, I felt God say, stay where you are. Stay where you are. So I stuck it out at university. Do you know when I finished university? I got the highest paid job that anybody had had from that university. God had gone before me. God had gone before me. But you know why he'd done that? Because every day I tried to put God first. I tried to make God number one. Make God number one. And when you make God number one, you will find He's always there. And no matter what comes against you, no matter what tries to destroy you, you keep God as number one. And do you know something, David? You take hold of your hand and you say, come on, I'm going to lead you through this difficult path. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to help you. And all you have to do is stay connected. Let the Word of God cause you to grow. Father, I pray for David. I pray over him right now. And I just ask, Lord, that you would begin to flow in his life. And Father, I just pray that he would feel your presence. He would feel your presence in his life daily. And Father, I pray that as he walks and seeks you, Lord, he may not find it easy, but Lord, you said, Lord, your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And Lord, you make it easy for him. You make it light for him, Father. I pray that, Lord, the things that he's lost, Lord, in you, you would restore them back to him in Jesus' name. For his son, restore back in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the enemy would have to repay back that which has been stolen from them in Jesus' name, for your praise and for your glory. For George, oh God, Lord, you would cause him to know truth. Father, I pray that you give him wisdom in the name of Jesus, not to fall into traps, but you'll keep him safe, Lord. Let their eyes be focused on you. For Benin, oh God, Lord, as he spoke to us earlier, he has a desire for you, oh God. And Lord, there's a wrestling going on within his very soul, a wrestling going on within his very heart and mind. And Father, I pray, Lord, that through your Spirit, Lord, he will be a winner in Christ Jesus, that the enemy shall not crush him, the enemy shall not break him, the enemy, Lord, shall not cause him to suffer, but Lord, you will cause him to be blessed and strengthened. And Lord, I pray you would make him a light. You, Lord, you would set him on fire in such a way, Lord, that he has never seen or known before. Lord, you will cause him to have a destiny and a purpose that he has never known before. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask it. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. I just want to challenge. I just felt today that, you know, we've gone differently than what was planned, but that's okay. Is there anybody else that's facing challenges, being pressured, being told, you know, even in your heart and mind, you can't do it, you're not going to make it, you're feeling pressed down, you're feeling you're battling against things that you can't see and understand, and you say, Lord, I want you to pray for me, then come on, come out, let's pray with you. You know, Lord, my fire's going out. I'm not as on fire as what I used to be, Lord. Come on, let's light the fire. Let's light the fire. Let's be a church, let's be a body, let's be a group of people that are so on fire for Jesus that we're not going to let anything stand in our way. The threat of death, the threat of defeat, the threat of loss, the threat of not having anything, the threat of failure. God does not invest in failures, he invests in successes. Don't look to the world to give you your success, but look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And so I just challenge anybody now, right now, just come on, come out, let's pray with you. Let's see God move in your life in power. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah. Hallelujah. And I pray with Graham. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Amen.